Squadcast, the Tag Digital podcast.
Check the mic and make sure it sound right, boys.
Hello and welcome to the Tag Digital podcast. I'm today's host, I'm Connell, and today I'm joined by David.
Hello.
And Stuart.
Hello.
How are you both doing this morning?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Yeah, good. Good, thanks.
Nice. Today we're going to be talking about landing page best practices. But before that, why don't you give a little intro to yourself, David?
Okay, so I'm David. I'm a paid media manager at Tag Digital. I've been here for about just almost 2 years. And yeah, I manage the Google campaigns.
Nice. What about you, Stu?
Yeah, so yeah, I'm Stuart. I'm a paid media manager, much like David. I've been here for just shorter than that, about a year and a half now. Yeah, and I'm on the Google team as well.
Nice one. Cool. Right, well, before we hop into anything sort of serious, I'm going to start with some quick-fire questions. Stu, I'm going to start with you.
Oh, under pressure. Go for it.
So, kind of generic one to start. Tea or coffee?
Oh, coffee. I think we've had this discussion a few times. I know you're a big tea guy, but...
It's quick fire here, Stu. We've got to keep going.
Yeah. Okay, go. Quick.
Right. Because this is an all-boys podcast, I thought I'd ask this question. Ronaldo or Messi?
Ronaldo.
Interesting. Controversial. What is your most used emoji?
Most used emoji? Oh... I don't know. That smile.
Nice. That...
The one we all know he's talking about.
Yeah, that smile. You can hear it.
A little smile.
Okay, this is where we kind of go a little bit away from quickfire. But what movie genre would you describe your life as?
Oh my god. Movie genre. I've got no idea.
Quickfire.
Action movie, why not?
Nice. Final question. What celebrity, dead or alive, would you want as a squad partner in your work?
Freddie Mercury.
Nice. Why not? Nice. Why?
Why not? It's Freddie Mercury. Why not?
I like it. Right. David. Tea or coffee?
Tea.
Ronaldo or Messi?
I'm going to go Ronaldo.
Oh, again, two wrong choices. Favourite emoji?
The one that Ashley absolutely hates, the salute.
That's a good one.
The new one.
Movie genre? Best describes your life?
Comedy.
And then what celebrity, dead or alive, would you want as a squad partner?
Kenny Rogers.
Nice. He knows.
Squadcast, the Tag Digital podcast.
Cool. So today we're talking about landing page best practices. Very important issue. Sometimes something that gets slightly overlooked. Whenever you're pulling your event together and you're pulling together your website, sometimes it's sort of like back of mind, but it is very important. So David, I'm going to start with you. What would you say is a good landing page? We're doing kind of inverted commas here. And why is it important to have a good landing page?
Yeah, so firstly, like you said, I think it can sometimes be a bit overlooked. I'd say in terms of best practices, you want to keep it relevant. You want, if you think about when we're running ads, our ads should pretty much be followed on when you get to the website. So what we're promoting really needs to be there. If you think about like your quality score and stuff in Google Ads, it takes into account your landing page and your relevancy to like your keywords you're using. When we're building ads as well, we'll use the landing page as a guide as well to get relevant keywords, some relevant copy. So your landing page should pretty much just kind of be like an extension of your ads. So yeah, just relevant copy, but also not too much. Like, you don't want your landing page to seem too busy. If you think about the kind of average user these days, their attention span's not going to be that great. So you kind of want to be there, like, straight to the point. And then call to actions. You want your call to actions to be pretty clear. Like, you don't want them to blend in with the page. You want them to be above the fold, probably at the top of the page, stand out. And you want it to be really obvious, like, what you want that user to do when they're on the landing page.
Cool. Yeah, those are all really good points. Do you think, are we seeing any trends in like what's been kind of best performing in platforms? So like Stu, for example, if you're running a Google Ads campaign, do you notice that like certain themes for landing pages that are like top performing, that are performing really well, there's ones that aren't like being like received very well by their audience?
Yeah, so I think one of the main things with landing pages is to make sure that it's relevant to the user you're trying to target. I think what we're all guilty of is kind of sharing a bit too much on landing pages. Sometimes it can get a little bit bloated and we kind of lose that journey or the preferred journey that we want to send a user on. I think a really good example of it would be if you've ever been on Wikipedia or something like that and you're looking for a specific bit of information. It can take a long time to get there, but what we want to do with our landing pages is make it super simple for users to find what they want and to actually get to that end goal that we want to push them towards. So, you know, a good example of it would be for like new users, for instance, just focus on the top level things that are great about your event, the top USPs, and then maybe hold back on that additional information, place it into a different place on the site. Or even better, potentially even have a sort of a remarketing page that's set to one side to kind of shout about more of the intricacies about the event, maybe specific speakers that have recently been announced. Kind of making sure you're using that content, not just all at one time, but splitting it out in a way that's easy for the user to manage.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I suppose it's very difficult to prioritize what's the best thing that you want to put on your site. If you had to pick like top two things that you would want to put on a landing page, what would they be?
So kind of what David's saying, make sure that your call to actions are super clear. I would say make sure that you only have maybe 2-3 at a real push. The problem with sort of cluttering your landing page with call to actions is a lot of the time, much like we said, you end up sending users to bits of your website that don't really provide that much value. And, you know, on average, a user will spend maybe about a minute on your website. So every second counts. And if you're sending people to a page that isn't giving them value or giving you value, it's all about making sure that we don't do that. So generally speaking, I would say send people to your Book Now page and secondary conversions as well. So things like brochure downloads, if you've got a brochure that you want to push, factor that in as a call to action as well. Another thing that I would say is, if you're using a single landing page, for instance, maybe just take a few of your top speakers as kind of like the ones that you want to shout about and talk about those people within your initial landing page. And if you want to branch that out at a later stage, maybe you can have a dedicated speakers page where you drive traffic to. And it's about making sure you're not giving too much away straight out of the gate. You want to make sure that the user's intrigued to come back and find out more.
Cool. Have we ever had any examples of working with some like landing pages that just haven't performed, and have we ever tested them against other variants and have we seen like the difference in performance there, David?
Yeah, without naming names, we've had some in the past that haven't performed too well. I think the kind of common theme there would be just landing pages that are very, very busy, probably multiple call to actions. I think I've had one in the past where the call to action was at the bottom of the page. So, you know, you're expecting the user to pretty much scroll right down. And this was amongst a lot of like cluttered information. So you're kind of making that journey for the user quite hard. So yeah, that's kind of like the common trends and themes we see is like busy landing pages make it hard for the user to kind of know where they're going. And yeah, we have tested in the past. I think definitely what we see is like minimalistic designs, like just kind of straight to the point. Also, like Stu was saying, things you can do to improve your landing page. I would definitely add some like social proofing in there. If you're thinking like the events industry, you want some testimonials in there because, you know, users will use that as like their validation to go to your event as other people are on your website saying that they had a great time at your event. So I think that's something you can add in there as well. But yeah, definitely, you can test your landing page. You can do tests as well, and we have tested good versus bad or busy versus minimalistic. And what we do tend to see is that the ones that have less information but relevant information are better.
Cool. Is there any sort of quick wins? So say you're an organizer and you're kind of unsure. You've got a bit of a hypothesis that you're... that your landing page might be the problem. Is there any quick wins that an organizer can make, like to look at their site and see where the problems are? Steve?
So generally speaking, I would say the best thing you can do is trying to make your landing pages interactive as possible. it kind of leans into the move to GA4 and the move towards, you know, more event-based marketing. So talking about things like how people actually interact with your website rather than how long they spend on site. You know, I think something that a lot of marketers have leant on for a long, long time is time on site and things like bounce rate as well. The problem with that is, if someone goes to make a tier of coffee, for instance, you know, it can give you a false flag as to how engaged someone actually is on the site. So with GA4, we've got things like page scroll, we've got file download. There's quite a lot of options for on-page interactions and being able to track that. So what I would say is try and look at your landing page and look at ways you can make that interactive. That would be my first point of call on that one.
Cool. And for GA4, so I know that's kind of been in the news a lot, I suppose, the past year for this space. Is that something that you would say is like relatively easy to set up? Do you normally see that it's sort of just a plug in and switch on and you've got access to all those metrics that you've just mentioned?
Yeah, so what I would say is it's like Google does sell it as kind of a case you can swap over really easily from Universal Analytics over to GA4. There's a wizard on board that allows you to do it really easily, but I think one of the misconceptions is that it's all set up, ready to go just by doing that alone. But one of the main things to note is a lot of best practices aren't followed. I think one that kind of comes to the top of my mind is data retention of 2 months. So if you have a remarketing list for 3 months or more, it doesn't hold on to that data for you. So yeah, we've got a team that has an audit list that we can go through, 26 points to kind of touch base on all those points and make sure it's all set up correctly. But yeah, I would make sure that if you haven't set up G4, make sure you do it today. Just get all the data set up first and then we can help after that.
Sounds good. Dream team.
That's it.
So David, I kind of want to touch back on something that you mentioned there where we were testing some landing pages against others. Is that something that we're able to test in platforms pretty easily, or how would we go about that?
Yeah, so it's something that you can test. You can set up like experiments in Google Ads, and you can test one landing page against the other. So yeah, it is possible. And then you can do things like allocate 50% of your budget to each landing page, and then you can measure this based on the performance of the ads. Obviously, if you're seeing more conversion rates from the landing page that you're doing a test against, then you know that that's performing better.
And then sort of last question for you guys is, what trends do you see in the future in terms of landing pages? Like, where do you see a landing page in 2033?
10 years' time?
Yeah.
I mean...
VR headset. Go mad.
Landing pages may not exist.
Landing page.
Yeah. No, I think one of the main things we've kind of touched base on a little bit is just how interactive your landing page is going to be. So rather than just having lots of content on there that users can just kind of scroll up and down on, it's going to be a lot more functionality based. So things like, we all think of like a blog widget where you can pop through different pages, for instance, see different articles. Things like that will be tracked. And that will all feed into machine learning, understanding the user a little bit more. So I think that will be one of the main things. I don't know if there's anything else that you're thinking of on your side.
Yeah, I think just, and like we said, interactivity is going to be like a big thing, I reckon. So, maybe integrating like videos onto your landing page, can I give the user a reason to stay there for longer, capture their attention in a better way? That's kind of one side of the coin. But if you're thinking like the other side of the coin, when we're running like bottom of the funnel ads, you kind of want to go maybe straight to like your registration form for events. Obviously, with data being such a big thing nowadays, I think we might even see that these kind of data capturing forms might just become a bit shorter, like maybe email only, just kind of get that kind of first point of contact as quick as possible, just in case that user does tend to leave the site quite quickly.
Cool, guys, I think we've learned a lot today. Thanks very much for joining me, and thanks for listening to another episode of the Tag Digital Podcast.
Squadcast, the Tag Digital Podcast. Listen to the Squadcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.